When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Another episode, Brad Spielberger, Weekly Spot. We are on to New England. There's no other way to say it. We'll talk a little bit quickly about Jets Cowboys, but obviously, you know, that game's in the past. It's Wednesday already. No need to dwell on the past. A, how you doing? And B, have you survived Justin Fields calling out your esteemed Bears coaching staff?
Yeah, I'm doing well. And yeah, it's probably good to let the listeners know that they are not, you know, alone in this trouble. I'm not a Jets fan, you know, obviously live in New York, have some Jets fan and family members, but I think my team is more of a dumpster fire, is what I was looking for there, than the Jets, but I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking.
I appreciate your time as always. I guess kind of to wrap up what were your thoughts on the Jets Cowboys game? I guess kind of as a whole, we'll just wrap that up here. And I know we talked a lot about it on Monday, but just to wrap that up here, like what were your kind of thoughts on a 30-10 loss that, as much as the scoreboard felt like a blowout, I don't know that it was as much of a blowout as it could have been, I guess.
That was my number one takeaway, actually, when finally getting around to watching the film yesterday. I watched the game, but obviously, as you know, broadcast, when you have eight different games going on, you don't actually get a good feel for the game flow and all those things. And you see CeeDee Lamb's stat line, you're wondering, is Michael Carter getting killed, or, you know, is he lining up out wide and beating, you know, one of the outside guys? That's not really, you know, kind of what I saw when I watched the tape. But the defense played fairly well. Obviously, when you're put in, you know, disadvantageous positions a lot of the time, you know, turnovers, obviously they had special team score, all these various things going on. It wasn't as bad as the final score would indicate. Oh, the defense played fairly well. Obviously, the offense was a struggle. You know, Zach, we'll get to the offensive line. I think, you know, I mean, they're like 31st in pass block right now for us. I don't know if I thought they were terrible in this game. I think the Cowboys have as good a pass rush as anyone. But the tackles, to me, stuck out more in this game than week one as a real weak point of the team.
Yeah, look, I think kind of going back and watching it again, center's a problem, left tackle's a problem, a little bit of stubbornness on defense is a problem. The staff didn't have a good game on Sunday. There's no other way around it. McCarthy, who gets a lot of heat all the time, you know, it wasn't a close game in a tight playoff game, so I guess he can't get it. That's normally where he gets the most heat, but Dak was fantastic. I said it a million times, this Jets defense is built around getting pressure, which they didn't do as good of a job of as they normally do, and taking the football away again, had a forced fumble that, you know, the Cowboys center hops on when there's five Jets players standing around. Like, that can't happen. Oh, by the way, then Sauce drops a pick six. Like, that stuff was frustrating. And then they want you to get bored with easy stuff, right? They want you to be able to sit there and say, you know, they wanted Dak Prescott to go, okay, it's annoying, I've completed five in a row, like, let me take a shot now. And that's when the Jets turn you over. That's when, you know, you force a fumble, all that stuff. So none of that happened. The defense was obviously on the field way too long. And offensively, eight total carries for Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall is unacceptable. They ran to the right side twice. CJ Uzomah playing three times as many snaps as Jeremy Rucker. Like, there was just a lot there. They didn't do anything in terms of getting, you know, moving Zach Wilson around. They booted once. That's it. And it wasn't open. It was a bad throw by Zach. Should have just thrown it away. But whatever. That's not really the point. Just like I made this comp, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this as well. Like, if you're pitching, right? You're pitching Aaron Judge or Ronald Acuna or whoever in baseball. You want to change their eye level. You want to pitch inside. You want to pitch outside. You want to pitch up in the zone, down in the zone, mixing, you know, fastballs, breaking balls. The Jets just said, here's a fastball 92, you know, low and away, and we're going to keep hoping you're going to swing at this, and we're going to keep miss. We don't have great control, but like, we're going to keep trying to be Greg Maddux, and we're not. So that can't happen on Sunday. And that's kind of where I want to take this. Obviously, you can follow up on anything I just said there, but how big of is this a must-win game for the Jets? I know it's a must-win game for the Patriots. The Patriots cannot go to 0-3, but it feels like it's a must-win game for the Jets as well.
I definitely would agree with you. It's probably more so a must-win for the Patriots. Like you said, if you're 0-3 in the AFC East, like, you're borderline dead, right? Especially with two losses in the division to Miami and then hypothetically the Jets. So more so for them. I don't know if I would still get to, you know, must win, although obviously what Chiefs is week four. So, you know, you have another very, very difficult game on the schedule right after that. You obviously, you know, Bill Belichick has been the boogeyman for Zach Wilson in particular. You'd love to see some form of growth there. And then I would say this too, like, I actually think Mac has been better this year. I think you already can kind of see the Bill O'Brien effect, but that offensive line in New England is pretty banged up as well. They have no explosiveness. So in a system that is predicated on getting pressure and kind of sitting back in a lot of cover three, you know, playing off, like, the Patriots should not have a play over 15 yards the entire game. Like, that, if they do, it's because they broke three tackles on one play and there was poor tackling from the Jets defenders. So, to me, I guess that's how I would argue. It's a must win in that you should probably, if you score 20 points, I think you win the football game. And the Patriots defense is very good. I have no doubt in my mind that is the case. And obviously Belichick's going to, you know, show different things pre-post-snap, do everything he can to confuse Wilson. Their defensive line, I think, you know, Keon White's are already a player. Christian Barmore looks like rookie Christian Barmore. But yeah, score 17 points, you might win this game.
Yeah, look, the Jets defense gave up one touchdown last year in two games against the Patriots, and that defensive, you know, touchdown they allowed was an egregious offensive pass interference penalty that should have negated that play anyway. So it's just really hard for me to sit there. My biggest pet peeve of the week, there's a lot of things that have happened this week, the negativity, is that I appreciate all the Jets fans that listen to the pod. Take a deep breath, please. It's week two, or now it's week three. The Jets lost to probably a top two team right now in the NFL. Whether the Cowboys finish that way or not, they've outscored teams 70-10 so far, and they were awesome the last 2 years. So deep breath. You don't have to keep telling me how much you don't like Zach Wilson or do like Zach Wilson. I'm aware we did this whole debate and song and dance for the last 2 years. Please stop. But most importantly was Robert Saleh said it himself. He did this in San Francisco. Anyone that watches Seattle or San Francisco or Dallas or all these different, the Jets don't play a lot of man. They play 20 or 30% on man on third down. They've blitzed a lot more, and you can have complaints about the blitzing more. Or Sauce isn't going to travel. He's just not. And to get over that, I'm sorry. I know it's people don't want to hear it. This isn't Rex Ryan. They're not going to run engage eight and blitz seven or eight guys. And Sauce isn't going to travel. And then you're going to put DJ Reed, Michael Carter, and these other guys in a bad situation. So that's one. Two, it just, this defense, you know, is very similar. A lot of these defenses are in the NFL right now, and you guys, you know, talk a lot about this at PFF, and a lot of two high shell, a lot of cover three, a lot of quarters, and it's like they're literally asking you to get bored with the easy stuff. And I think that's the biggest thing for Zach on Sunday is they're going to blitz you. The Patriots are going to play a ton of cover one because they don't trust, you know, they're going to shade everything to Garrett Wilson. They don't trust that Zach Wilson can beat them. That's all fine. But like, it's okay to take the check downs. It's okay to stay with the run and not give up on the run after two drives because you go three and out. I just feel like everyone panicked that this defense now sucks and Zach might implode. I don't know on Sunday, but like, there's no reason he should really implode. This Patriots defense is a lot more of like stingy, well-coached, bend don't break than it is like this vaunted defense that I think of years past with elite corners and elite edge rushers and stuff like that.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you there. I think if not for Bill Belichick being the coach of this defense, they'd probably be an average, maybe above average unit. You know, there are certainly holes to poke. And obviously he, I think better than maybe anyone in the NFL right now, is willing to sign players that literally do one thing good, that may play 60 snaps in one game and zero the following game. And I just kind of wonder why other teams, not everyone needs to do that. But yeah, so no, I agree, though. I think Zach, the one thing I did notice, I think attacking the intermediate area of the field, we have him as 6 of 10 for 145. 5 yards, a touchdown, and 2 picks, between 10 and 19 yards downfield. That and play action, very small sample, but 3 of 7 for 77 yards and a touchdown, where again, I think you don't need to throw very far down the field. And you also, like you said, take the checkdowns. I think this should be a 4, 5, 6 target Breece Hall game. And I think you should see, I mean, Garrett Wilson should just run a hard slant, whether it's Jonathan Jones or Christian Gonzalez, who I do love, but is a rookie making his third start. Like, keep it simple, and I think you will be able to make some plays against this defense.
Yeah, I agree, and you know, we've seen it now, them connect on a few things. Also, manufacture a couple easy targets to Garrett Wilson. You know, screen a speed sweep to Mecole Hardman on the first drive, like, wouldn't kill anybody. You know, things like that, or just I tweeted this before, and I said this a little bit on Monday, and I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but like, you can run a conservative offense without having to run the same play out of the same formation with the same personnel every time. You can run power a million different ways. Like, it's not like down and around. Like, you could run that a million different ways. You can run it out of 11, you can run it out of 10, you can run it out of 12, 13, you can run in different formations, you can use motion. I understand wanting to protect Zach, and I know we talked, we joked at the Bears a little bit. I think the Bears are doing a lot of similar stuff. That's like a lot of these offenses are, where you want to protect your quarterback, but you don't have to be like, so like, here's what we're running, let's line up and just keep doing it again. I think Nate Hackett got a lot more heat in Denver than he probably should have. He's better offensive coordinator, I think, than he's usually given credit for. And the guys love him. You can ask anyone in the locker room, they all like love playing for him. What would you kind of like to see? Is there anything you'd like to see kind of specifically the Jets do on offense that they even either didn't do the last 2 weeks, or you maybe saw Miami or Philly have some success on, you know, I guess early in the year so far?
Yeah, I would say one thing, you mentioned Ruckert, and I would need to watch more closely, probably not only the Jets so through two games, but also more of Hackett in Denver. But if I do remember from watching last year, like, when you mix up personnel packages, but then you kind of run the same things out of those personnel packages, right? Where it's like, you need to be more, and I get that also probably the complications here are maybe you're not trying to make it too difficult for Zach, and you're simplifying it with respect to, if these guys are on the field, maybe you shrink what you're going to do to this particular subset of plays, and et cetera, et cetera. But I think there needs to be kind of more multiplicity with, like, yeah, like Ruckert probably coming on the field is probably a run tell because he's an awesome run blocker. We saw that in week 1, you know, him taking a guy for a ride for about 40 yards and then running down the field. So, like, you know, I just think that there can be, and like I said, I would need to watch more, but this is kind of my anecdotal memory of, like, don't be afraid to bring out a personnel package that, and then run something completely counter to what is probably intuitive with that group. I just think more of that would help Wilson, because I think defenses would probably try to jump stuff or kind of, you know, key in on things, and you kind of zig when they expect you to zag.
Yeah. The other thing is, and I don't have the stats in front of me, so someone's, I'm sure, going to correct me, I don't really want to ever see Zach under center. He's never been comfortable under center in his whole career. I don't feel like this offensive line has not been good enough to kind of run play action under center on a consistent basis. Pretty sure, of course, the touchdown of Garrett Wilson was under center, but generally speaking, I just feel like giving Zach an opportunity to see the whole field. And the biggest thing, honestly, and this sounds incredibly childish, throw the ball away. The second you start rolling to your right, if you don't see somebody immediately, get rid of that football. Because the one thing on Zach did not do well on, I know, is, you know, we can do the whole, there's two possession game, the game got away in the fourth quarter. He made 2 or 3 of the interceptions that he made last year against the one on down the sideline of the Cow, like, in the, against the Cowboys onto the right side, was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is the same Zach Wilson. Like, he got away from that early in the first 3 quarters. I thought he actually played well. You know, it wasn't perfect by any means, but like, throwing back across your body, not understanding that everyone knows what your MO in the NFL at this point, that stuff cannot happen. I don't care about the one deep to Garrett Wilson. That doesn't bother me at all. That actually makes me happy that, like, you're even taking a shot there. It's not a good throw, but it's still, at least I get the idea and the thinking is fine. The other two interceptions, like, down 2 possessions or not, they're not great. So Throw the football away again. Take the checkdowns. Use your legs. If the Patriots are going to blitz you and run a ton of man and, you know, run at you and, you know, try to get you off your spot, use your legs. Take 5, 6, 7 yards. Get down, slide, get out of bounds. I think that's what Zach did well in that 2-minute drill. Last couple of things here. Have you been impressed? Like,
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Not have you been impressed by Buffalo last week, but like, is it more impressive, I guess, does it say more about the Jets that what they did to Buffalo on Monday, I guess 10 days ago, or is it more the Raiders suck? Like, what, where, you know, because the Bills go and drop 40 plus points and absolutely demolish the Raiders when the Jets offense made it look like Josh Allen was a bad quarterback all of a sudden.
You know, I think it says a good bit about both. Like, look, the Raiders defense isn't great, but I mean, Max Crosby is obviously still a problem every single snap and every single week. And you know, there were other things to point to, like their young secondary, like you have a couple guys back there. Ja'Cory Bennett's made some plays. Obviously, Nate Hobbs has been good for a couple years now. You know, I liked bringing over, oh, I'm blanking on his name now, the safety from the Eagles.
Epps.
Yeah, like it's not a terrible unit. Like, it's still not a great one, but I don't think it's like a bottom five defense in the NFL. So I think it also says a good degree about the Jets just having his number, obviously being able to generate pressure without blitzing, which the Raiders basically, you know, can't do unless Crosby wins his one-on-one. But yeah, I would say it's as much positive for the Jets as it is, you know, Allen also did like just take the easy stuff sometimes, you know, which he obviously refused to do against the Jets. But hey, that could also, again, you could argue, say, well, maybe we're all saying that, but he didn't even see like the check down or the simple stuff, or like didn't trust throwing like a backside dig because he thought, you know, Sauce or Reed was going to jump it, or like, you know, so it's not one answer. I think it's both.
Yeah. Last quick two things here, before we wrap up. Salah talked a lot about it. I guess in his Monday radio spot, and you know, it's been kind of cleared up at this point. We saw us deactivating Twitter and saying he wants to travel. And then Brees Hall with the four footballs thing. We see Justin Fields today, you know, talking a lot about coaching, and we've seen a lot of just like, it's just a new way, I guess, of doing things. What is there a solution to this? Because the way Salah phrased it is like, sleep on it. And then if you still feel the same way, tweet it. He doesn't, you know, he said, whatever. Problem is it's not getting, you know, that's not really what's happening. And I don't know how to fix some of these things. They're not realistically going to delete Twitter. People are not realistically not going to, you know, whatever, but is it like, what's the solution here? Because I don't think it's going to affect the Jets long-term at all. I don't think it's going to be a bigger thing than it was for a second, but it is kind of crazy. If you think about it, this is like, this is kind of what it's come to.
Yeah. I want to be clear, like how I go about saying this. Like, this isn't to say that like I want players to be muzzled and not feel like they can voice their opinion and that they shouldn't question coaching if they don't think it's the correct coaching and all of those things. And I also wouldn't even say that it's like a generational thing. Like, you and I are sitting here being like, oh, Gen Z always hopping on social media.
Yeah,
like,
meanwhile, we are on it all day.
Well, yeah, that too. Like, I don't think it's either of those things, but I really do think the common thread between the franchises that consistently win in this league, look at the Pittsburgh Steelers when they've had some of the like craziest personalities in the history of the sport. There's never a word coming out of that building. Look at the New England Patriots for the most part. Same thing. You know, we go down the list here of like the Packers. I mean, Rodgers tried to, you know, like, complain as much as possible, and he obviously has the biggest platform he possibly wanted, and still, I think, realized, like, I'm going to keep it in check because I'm trying to set an example for some young players in Green Bay, and I have the status and the, you know, the ability to talk more than anybody else, and he's right. He earned that and deserved it, but he still wasn't, like, a public thorn in their side 24/7, and he probably wanted to be to a degree. So, yeah, it's just, like I said, it isn't, like, an anti-player thing. It isn't, like, an anti-22-year-old thing. I just think that the ability to keep everything in-house and say, look, there are going to be problems and you are allowed to get frustrated, to get really annoyed, to push back on things, etc. But do that in a meeting to the coach. Like, I think it makes a meaningful difference and it's just so much better to go about it. So, you know, maybe try to reinforce that message. Look, I don't know Salah as well as you do. Like, he seems like a guy that you probably could walk up to and say, like, hey, I want to sit down and talk to you. I have an issue. I feel like he'd be receptive to that. You know, maybe I'm crazy and he's different in public than in the building, but that's my perception.
Yeah, no, it's something that I thought about this week of like, it's a lot of optics and it's always going to be that way. And again, it's not an anti-player thing at all. If anything, me and you were both incredibly pro player. It is true. You see the same things in these buildings that, you know, the really bad teams, even say the Browns right after a loss, right? It's like, you know, denying that people are pushing officials and doing all those things. It's like right in front of your face. And it's like, it can't be helped. And that's the stuff where you can be pro player all you want. At the same time, you also have to have everyone bought in and just know after a loss, the last thing any fan or any other teammate wants to see is like complaining about like knee stuff. And it's not a shot at Breece or Sauce, because when they're on their game, the reason the Jets win is a lot to do with them. So last thing here, Jets have lost 14 in a row. Do you think, which mindset, I guess, if you are a player playing for the Jets, do you kind of like better? We hear Salah this week. It's more about the fans. Of course, I want to beat the Patriots, but we don't think about the streak. Do you think that's a better approach? Or B, the Garrett Wilson's like, yeah, like I don't think about it all the time, but like it's annoying. I've never beaten them and we lost 14 in a row and like that shit has to change. And it's like, you don't want to lose 14 in a row to anybody or 2 in a row to anybody. And like, that's why we're here. Like, do you feel like they're both kind of, I don't know, not like they're not both good approaches, but I guess which approach do you kind of think makes more sense? Because I know there's the side of it too. It's like, it's the past, like worrying about like 14 in a row puts added pressure onto a game where you just kind of have to win this game to go 2-1, 2-0 in the division.
So different strokes for different folks. And obviously I didn't play professional sports, but personally, like I would lean into it 110%. I mean, like I remember growing up playing hockey against either it's a rival or a team that had our number for a while. Like the best motivation possible was just like, if you just out hustle these guys, like we are as talented as they are. And I think, sure, in years past, was that not true? Yes. The Jets are about as good as the Patriots, you know, top to bottom roster wise. You could maybe argue, you know, they're better in a lot of different areas. So just say, if we play faster, more physical, and have an intensity about us that is different, we have every reason to win this football game. And I think for me, that would stem from F the Patriots, F this rival, yada, yada, yada. So I don't know, whatever you need to do to get motivated, but I would certainly fall into that bucket.
Yeah. I just lead into it. It's a home game. You can't run from it. People are going to talk about it all week. They're going to ask you about it. You might as well say like, yeah, it's annoying. We've lost them 14 in a row. I don't care if I was here or not. It's embarrassing to lose. The last time the Jets beat them, Breece Hall and Gary Wilson, Sauce Gardner and Zach Wilson were literally in 10th grade at best. Like they're all 14, 15 years old. That's a problem. Like Colin Kaepernick was a starting quarterback in the league. Like Blake Bortles was like 2 years in.
Playoff,
like,
you know what I mean?
Playoff Blake Bortles. Like CJ Mosley, I think, got drafted in 2015. Like or 2014.
Yeah, I think
like
so. Yeah.
He's 32 now. He's been an all pro. He's like 6 Pro Bowls in. Like, time to beat them. And I think they do get the job done Sunday. I was gonna ask you for your prediction quickly. I'm gonna probably change, I'm sure, but right now I'm leaning the Jets win. Jets win a weird like 19 to 10 game where some field goals, weird, wonky stuff happens, but I think they look like the better team and kind of end the Patriots kind of season before it starts.
Funny you said 19, because that number, well, I was going to say 19-14. I think it's going to be super low scoring. I know the total in Vegas is like 37.5, and I still think it's going to go under that. And yeah, it's going to be wonky, but I think you do. You need to win on special teams, win on defense, and hope you can have a couple field goals on offense. Yeah, I think the Jets, I think they're going to pull out a tight one. I really, really do. This could be famous last words. The Patriots obviously are not looking to go 0-3 for, I don't know, probably the first time in the Belichick era. But I think they get, I think they're a better team in most positions on this roster.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. So we'll be back, you know, episode tomorrow and episode Friday will be lots of Jets Patriots talk and, for two teams who, probably not having, not have had the start to the year, obviously the Jets with Aaron Rodgers and the Patriots just losing two in a row. Make sure, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back with Brad next week and, have a great rest of the day.